Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. So with all the rain today, we should be looking for some rainbows. Do you think? But we don't have to worry about a flood. Right? Right? All right. There's a big red bus out here too, isn't there? That's giving some blood. Want to say, hey, you're the man. Did you want to say something? Yeah, okay. Come on, man. Why don't you say something? I was looking for your big sign. I thought you had a sign. It was like, big $20 gift card or something. You were trying to entice him over there. Go ahead. Yeah. Share away, my friend.
Good morning. So the reason why to donate blood is if you look to your left and look to your right, one out of three people will need blood at one time in their lives. So I've learned that personally through my family, that it was actually a little bit more than one in three. My mother, I would not actually be here if it wasn't for blood donors. My mother, when she was first starting a family, had a miscarriage and lost so much blood that if it wasn't for blood donors, my family would not be here. I would have lost my father at 19. I've changed a part of my life where I was starting to become the man that I am today. He had a massive heart attack, and if it wasn't for blood donors, he would not have lived as long as he had. My brother suffers from Crohn's colitis, and there's been times where if it wasn't for blood donors, he would not be here. My niece and my nephew would not be here. So one blood also saved my life, and I didn't even know it. I went in to donate blood because that's the good thing to do. And it turned out that I had a pulse rate of over 130 resting. I was 50 pounds overweight, and I went to a doctor, and because of me being turned down to donate blood, I found out that I had type 2 diabetes, and I was given the sign from God to be able to change my life, and he blessed me with that I am now without having to take any type of medication. So this is just one of those things that just holds dearly onto me. I hope that everybody here that will be able to donate today, I just want to thank you in advance. It's the easiest way to do good in this world, and we've seen a lot of bad, we've seen a lot of evil in this world lately. And if it's just one thing that you could do to make this world just a better place, each donation can save up to three lives. So I graciously plead with you to, if you're able to, please go onto the bus and donate. Thank you so much.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Who knows? Blood type. Everybody know their blood type? Who knows their blood type? If you don't know your blood type, they'll let you know what your blood type is. We have a couple newlyweds right here. They got married like this weekend. That's right. These guys right here. Make sure you come and say, hey, how you doing? Tom, right? Tom just wandered by yesterday and just said, hey, what's going on? I'm looking for a church fan. I hope everybody comes up and shakes your hand and says, welcome home, my friend. Glad that you're here, my brother. And he wandered in on a work day. And I just want to say thank you for all those that came out and did some work. Miss Melinda, of course, Jess and Inger, Tim and Rhett, Wendy, Azelle, Tom Benford, Tom Russell, Christian Hargreaves, Matthew, Tom and Nancy, David Linder, Billy Kennedy. Billy Kennedy was out there. Is Billy Kennedy in the house here today? Is he? Sometimes he's hanging around the back. I mean, this guy's hunched over with a bad foot. And you know what he was doing? He was trying to lift up the speed bumps that we have to get rid of. Oh, my goodness gracious. God, pour out your favor upon each and every one of them. Last week, we talked a little bit about Noah building his yacht. Noah's yacht. And then the flood. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And then what? And then what? The floodwaters remained for another 150 days. So lest we start to think, because I used to think that, rain for 40 days and 40 nights and that was the end of it. Nope. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights and it was just flooded for 150 more days, right? The boat just with no rudder, no steering, right? No cape, just at God's mercy. Love this statement, the end of the world is just the beginning. I thought I had done something really creative, and then I looked it up, and somebody has a book called The End of the World is Just the Beginning. The end of the world is just the beginning. Death. Death. Just a new beginning. What have we to fear? A new beginning, a new set of circumstances, a new day, a new dawn, a new life. When we feel pressures beginning to rise in our own lives and time may be becoming limited, do we think destruction is upon us? Or do we think new beginning? Do we think everything's over? Or do we think new beginning? Do we think the season is done? Or do we think a new season has begun? Noah steps out of the ark with his family. The water has brought some changes to everything that he has known. There are no more packs of wolves, just two. There is no more pride of lions, just two. There's no more flock of seagulls, only two. No swarm of gnats, just two. And on and on and on it goes. It's a different view, a different world. The animals were the same, and the scriptures are pretty clear, and so was humanity. Humanity, which God had created in his own image, exactly the same. Now, if God were writing a progress report to measure the improvement of men before the flood and after the flood, the report would simply read two words: no improvement. No improvement. People are people. Wherever you go, there you are. If you take a raccoon out of a tree and put him in your house, still a raccoon. God had preserved the human race. He had preserved mankind with all its infractions, with all its abilities, with all its disabilities, with all its uniquenesses, with all its propensity towards evil, with all its majesty and glory being created in the image of God. Noah steps out of the ark. Grateful. Grateful. And Noah builds an altar. There's your first one. God's altar. Noah builds an altar. We learned a lot about Noah last week. He was an exemplary man of faith, righteousness, purity, drunkard. Noah was a man who walked with God and sought after God. And he did the things that God had asked of him and commanded him to do. He's not perfect, but he sees and seeks the heart of God. And Noah was a man who went against the flow. He went against the mainstream of what was going on in his time. It mattered not all the evil that was taking place around him. He went against the flow and did what God was asking of him to do. He followed God. Today we need more Noahs. We need more men like Noah, men of faith and honor and integrity, men that will walk with God, not run from him. We need people that will step up in church, men that will pray for their families, pray for their children, pray for their church, be leaders in their communities, Love the lost. Get comfortable around evil and get comfortable around sinners. Why? Because you can have influence into their lives. Working for the Lord and doing what God has asked of you to do. That's all Noah did. That's all he did. A man of faith, not perfect, but a man of faith that sought after him. We need people that will follow the Lord when the rest of the world is seeking its own self-serving pleasures. We need people that will stand up for God, and we need people that will stand out for God. We got any people in here like that today that want to stand up for God? That want to stand out for God? Give me a yes, sir. See, Noah stands out as an example of the blessings that come to those that God is pleased with. The world may be swept away in the floods of evil, but God's going to save you from the rushing waters. The world may get caught up in all the current latest trends, but God will deliver you. Keep your sights on him. The world will have its mind on politics and sports and sex and money. Noah had his mind on God, and God had his mind on Noah. What are you thinking about? What's God thinking about? Who are you thinking about? Who's God thinking about? Noah built an altar. He built an altar about seeking the face of God. He came out with gratitude upon his heart. It reflects that he yearned for God's presence, and he was thankful for God's presence. And wouldn't he be? I mean, look around. Noah, what's going on? Grateful that God was with him and in his presence. Noah building an ark also reflects the orientation of his heart, that God is the first thing. God is first. He doesn't step off the ark and then, you know, start digging holes. He builds an altar to God. He doesn't start looking around and doing stuff. He builds an altar to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you brought me through. Thank you, Father, that you have saved me. Anybody else got some gratitude in their heart for the Lord? Build an altar. Thank you. My complete existence depends on you. My survival depends on you. You alone are my God. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. I didn't care what everybody else was saying. I didn't care what everybody else was doing. I cared that you blessed my family, that I honored you. How might I serve you, God? Noah's offering in his heart pleased God, and God's response is amazing. It's stunning. The resolution to never again flood the earth and destroy all human creatures, or all creatures in the same manner that he had just done. Never again will I curse the ground because of humans. That's a pretty bold statement from God. Even though, following me? Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, I won't do that again. I won't flood it out again. Pay attention. Everything in today's text happens at the altar. The altar of gratitude and thanksgiving as a result of Noah seeking the face of God and seeking the favor of God. Everything happens as you seek God. Everything flows into your life and out of your life as you make him first. Everything flows out of this relationship that you have with God. There's nothing more important than this vertical relationship that you have with the Lord. All wisdom comes from God. All knowledge comes from the Lord. Gratitude and thankfulness and peace and humility and strength and courage and all the things you're going to have to deal with concerning all the evil that's always around you, because every human heart has an inclination towards that which is not good. How are we going to cope with all of this? I can't cope with all of this. God, you can do it in me and through me. Only with you, God. What are the altars of your life? What are you sacrificing to, and what are you sacrificing for? And is it worth it? Does it hold eternal value? Does the soul of your children hold eternal value? Worth sacrificing for and working for? Your spouse? Your friends that are lost? The blessings that came rolling in toward Noah from God blessings that come to you and me because Noah followed God. You exist and you're blessed because Noah followed God. Is your life a blessing to anybody? Is your life one of just take, 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 take? See what I can get, see what I can get, see what I can get? All selfishly motivated? Or is your life about sacrificing, honoring, mercy, grace, forgiveness, compassion for others? Your life is blessed because Noah. Whose life is going to be blessed because you follow God? Because you honor God. Noah loved the Lord and he sacrificed to him. He listened to him and he followed his ways. And God did an amazing thing. So your next one's God's covenant. The primary way God commits himself and involves himself is by establishing a covenant. This one is a Noahic covenant. We talked about that yesterday in wedding, didn't we? Is it a contract or is it a covenant? Right? So the world has an idea that marriage is a legal contract. It is a legal contract, but it's so much more than that. It's a spiritual contract of being a covenant contract. It's more than that, right? Is it a promise or a vow? Right? What are you doing? What's the difference? How are you loving? A covenant is a bond that binds people together in a relationship, and usually it's done by blood, right? And it is, in the Bible, administered by God. God establishes a covenant and a bond with humanity. Now watch, this is where you get some of the cute words people like to say. Is it an unconditional love or is it a conditional love? Is your love unconditional or is your love conditional? This is a covenant that God is making. Is it a conditional thing or is it an unconditional thing? And see, watch, God initiates the covenant. God does this. He initiates the Noahic covenant. God defines it, and watch, he fulfills it. You don't have to do anything about it. You don't have to do anything. God does it. God takes care of it. There's nothing you can do for it, nothing you can do about it. God will not flood the earth again. And here's a sign that I won't, right? It's a covenant, unconditional covenant. Doesn't even matter what you do. See, the conditional covenant is kind of the if and then, right? It's the if you, then I will, right? If you, then I will. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. If they would, I would. Conditional, right? A conditional covenant. See, within the American political system, we don't have a policy problem or a political problem or a politician problem. We have lots of vibrant politicians that raise millions and millions of dollars. We don't have a politic problem in America. We have a prayer problem. We have a repentance problem. We have sin problem, right? We have a forgiveness problem. We have humility before God problem. We have a biblical foundation problem. You want healing in your land? And you expect God to heal your land? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. What kind of love do you have towards your children? Conditional? Unconditional. What kind of love do you have towards your spouse? Conditional? Unconditional. I love you if you perform. I love you if you do these things. That's conditional. Your children, I love you if you get good grades. I love you if you marry the right person. I love you if you go to church every Sunday. I love you if. Or is it unconditional? See, are you someone who loves, period, I love, or I'm not sure you're worthy of my love. I'm not sure you're worthy of my love. I'm not sure you're worthy of my love. How do you feel towards your church family? Conditional or unconditional? I only love you if you show up to church on Sundays. I love you only if you wear the right clothes, have the right hair, sing on key, which I don't. I appreciate all of your love. I feel the love. This is that unconditional love that gets vocalized. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will be a flood to destroy the earth. Noah, I covenant. I'm establishing with you this covenant. And you can know this for sure. I am in a relationship with you and all of your descendants, all of you. I am with all of you. Never again will there be such a flood that destroys all of life. This wasn't Noah's idea. This was divinely established. Noah didn't seek out this good news. God desired to deliver it. God had a cool idea. God has some good ideas once in a while, doesn't he? Church is God's idea, by the way. God was remorseful. People rejected him. And he hit the reset button. And if you know the rest of the story, he's gonna do it again. Because Jesus is coming again. He's gonna reestablish again a new earth. In a different way. I'm not gonna flood, but in a different way. And this is the propensity of people, that every inclination of the human and in the flesh is a propensity towards evil. And things get cyclical. It just turns upon itself. Reset. Flood. Reset. Jesus is coming back. It's not complicated. We make it very complicated. God makes it very simple. The blessings detailed and outlined in the text come according to the abundance, really, and the abundance of grace that God has towards people. One of the things that we must note is how much really kind of out of whack the blessings are compared to kind of what Noah did or what people do. Noah listened. Noah had faith. Noah trusted. That's what was asked of Noah. That's what he did. God honored him. God showed favor upon him. And God blessed him. Even though what he asked them to do was pretty weird. He asked Noah to do something pretty weird. I mean, that's whacked, man, right? To try to do that and to accomplish that kind of a thing. You know what he's asking of us? Grace is weird, man. Grace is weird. Grace is not fair. Mercy? That's weird, man. That ain't fair. We need judgment. Mercy. It's weird. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't even feel right many times within our own human heart. And we can't do it in the flesh. That's why we need the Holy Spirit of God to be able to do it in us and through us. You cannot box God. You cannot box the Holy Spirit. It's like trying to catch the wind. You cannot do it. God's going to have mercy. God's going to have grace. God's going to have compassion. He's going to show his love. He's going to be slow to anger. And blessings came because Noah was seeking the face of God. God blesses those whom he finds favor. The world was changed. Completely changed. Reborn. I've been completely changed. Reborn. Why? Because God destroyed my evilness and filled me with himself. See, I want to be that kind of guy. I want to belong to that kind of church that walks in faith, that we have the favor of God is upon us, not because we're perfect, but because we seek him first, that the eyes of God and the favor of God are upon us, not because we're perfect, but because we desire to know him. We desire to know the mind of Christ. We desire to honor him with our lives. We find blessings are poured out into our lives. Why? Because we're a praying church. Because we'll pull somebody up and pick on them and say, what's going on in your life and how might we pray for you? Be a praying church and God's blessings pour out upon you. God's favor is poured out upon us because we're gracious, we're merciful, we're Christ-honoring because we love people. Even though every inclination in their heart, according to God, is a propensity towards evil. I know mine is, and I'm pretty sure you're a people too. We love people, the lost, the marginalized, the hurting, the lonely, the widow. When you've done it unto the least of these, then you've done it unto me. You want to serve Jesus? Unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. New Life Alliance is just one of those places, you know, where the misfits fit. And watch some of the blessings that come upon, what the blessings that come upon Noah in this new beginning. The first one is the blessings that come are procreation. There's your next one. It's procreation. The blessings of God is procreation. There's babies back there. They talk about procreation, right? We had a dozen kids run out into the children's program over there, right? The continuing ability to have children. Go. Adam and Eve, go and multiply. Noah, go forth and populate the earth. Go. See, God thinks sex is bad. No. No. I don't know where you get that. Where do you get that? It's not scriptural. God said, go. Populate. God desires that we reproduce. Watch, both physically and spiritually. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded of you. Then I will be with you even to the end of the age. Go. Go, procreate, right? Go. And there's provision of food. He makes a good provision of food. That's your next one. God's blessing is a provision of food. Let no one be hungry. If you're hungry, there's some pizza left over. Right? God is still taking care of his people. Listen, do you know that there's enough food to feed the world? There's enough food to feed all 8 billion people on the planet. There's more than enough. We have enough for everyone's need, but not everyone's greed. All right? We can feed them. We choose not to. We choose a different way. That's us. It's not God. We do that. The humans, we do that. We choose how to. And God says, there's enough for everyone. And protection. God's favor is upon you and there's protection. A covenant that protects the sanctity of the human race from the destruction of the flood. Right? I wish I'd have made a slide of this statement, but maybe you'll write it down. There's this covenant that protects the sanctity of the human race from destruction by the flood, right? He says, I'm making a covenant. You don't have anything to do with it. I'm making a covenant to you. I'm going to think of it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to abide by it. You can't do anything about it. I'm going to covenant with you. I'm never going to flood the world again like that. I'm never going to eliminate the human race like that again. That's God's statement to you. And then watch. God protects us from himself. God protects us from himself. That's astonishing. I cannot reside and abide where there is sin. I need to cleanse you in the blood of Jesus Christ, and then I can fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. I cannot reside where there is sin and the evil is predominant within your flesh. I must cleanse you. You must die to yourself that I might fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. God will destroy evil. He crushes the wicked. He crushes it. He demolishes it. He protects us. us from himself. He protects you and me, and he remembers his promises that he made to you, to be gracious to you, to be kind to you, to be loving to you. Though while you were still my enemies, I would die for you. Though while you still ran away from me, I was waiting for you to return. God keeps all his promises. He is like a shield for those that would seek his protection. That's a big picture of God and his grace towards all of humanity. And he puts a rainbow in the sky and says, just so that you might remember. What effect does that even have, you know, on your thoughts? That's God's covenant. The effect that God is so much more than just some God who's far, far away in an alternate universe somewhere that cannot. He infiltrates, affects, infects the very atmosphere upon which you breathe and says, here's a reminder. Let me give you this as a reminder. It's God's grace. And that's your next one. That's God's grace. Off the ark came all the animals and the humans through the landscape. Though the landscape had changed, humanity didn't. Though the neighbors, there were none, humans were still human. And though all the eye could see had changed all around them. Anybody see the society upon which you live change? Just ask somebody who's lived here for 30 years, 40 years. Has anything changed around here? Oh, man. Population, restrictions. I used to go fishing over here. Now it's a housing complex. I used to hunt over here, but I can't hunt over here anymore. I got to drive 80 miles that way to be able to do all the things I used to do. There's a change is a coming, baby. Times are changing. And all that the eye could see changed, but humanity remains the same. Because people have been people since there have been people. And what lies under the surface of the reality is that the human heart is inclined toward evil, bent toward selfishness, had a propensity toward wickedness, was committed to iniquity, in the habit of evil, self-centered, lustful, greedy, judgmental, envious, devious even. Man's sin problem just continued to persist. Noah was not a sinless man. He was a man of faith. Noah was not a sinless man. He was a man of faith. Abraham was not a sinless man. He was a man of faith. King David was not a sinless man. He was a man of faith. What is your problem? You think you're not qualified because you're a sinner? Because you've done something wrong? Jesus Christ will cleanse you. Walk in faith towards God. He washes you clean and enables you to fulfill your calling. We have just been blessed in the very mind and our very hearts. God reveals himself to us. In God's graciousness, blessing of us, he is more than aware that we have the propensity toward evil. Do you understand that? He knows you. He knows people. And he loves them anyway. And he sacrifices for them anyway. And he honors them anyway. And he blesses them anyway. Grace of the rainbow in the sky. Every time you see a rainbow in the sky, just shout out, thanks for the reminder, God. I believe in your promises. And if you ever see a rainbow flag hanging out in front of a bar or something, just say, hey, thanks, God. I remember your promises. And if you see a rainbow bumper sticker, just shout out, I love Jesus too. You see a rainbow t-shirt, just go, I love God's promises too. They're just going to, I don't know. They're just, I know people think a rainbow means something else, a sense of pride. But that's a worldly perverted view, not a biblical view. Do you adopt worldly views or do you adopt biblical views? You choose. See, the rainbow doesn't offend me wherever I see it. It just reminds me of hope and peace and reassurance. I know what it means to you, but I know what it means to God. I know people try to pervert all kinds of things. They try to, all kinds of, you know, guns and alcohol and gaming and eating and sports and sex. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. All that God has turned out for the good of humanity and good of mankind, the evil inclinations of our own heart, and Satan himself want to warp it and twist it and pervert it. And you see it all the time. You see it all the time. That goes back to the very inclination of the heart, which makes God's grace even more amazing. He knows. He knows. And yet, he'll wash your feet. And once the Spirit grips your heart like that, the convictions of your sinfulness and your inclinations towards evil, once your Holy Spirit pours out His grace, you find release and freedom and liberty in Christ. You're not under the weight of the guilt and the shame and the hurt and the pain and the disappointment. Receive what God has for you, not what the world wants for you, what God has for you. I want to walk that walk. You don't just know about God's grace, you experience God's grace. And then with everything that's in you, you try to give it away. God has poured out so much favor upon us, so much blessing, so much mercy, so much compassion. You experience it, you encounter it, you try to walk in it, that you can now give it away. You become His testimony, His voice, His feet, His eyes. You see as God sees, and you love as God loves. No one knew God's grace, listen, from beginning to end, from destruction to salvation. That's Noah found favor in the eyes of God because he had faith, not because he was perfect. Be the Noah in your family. Be the Noah in your church. Be the Noah at work. Here's your last one. Build your life as an altar to God. Step out of the boat. Don't go exploring. Build an altar to God. Your life is an altar to God, one of gratitude and thankfulness. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. And this would be your true and proper act of worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and His pleasing and His perfect will for you. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so very much for your word. I thank you for the example of Noah in our lives. I pray, Father, that you would continue to minister and work in our hearts. And Father, as we lay out our lives before you, I pray that we are an altar to you, that our lives serve as living testimonies of what God can do. Father, I pray that we would receive your mercy, that we can give it away, that we encounter your grace, that we can give it away, that we know what it is to be forgiven, that we might forgive others. Cannot give away what we do not have. So I pray, Father, you would fill us to overflowing with all of who you are. Help us overcome the inclinations of our flesh to turn away and to run away and to move away from you. Father, by your Holy Spirit, draw us close. That we might be in your presence moment by moment by moment. Give us the strength and the endurance and the compassion to do all that you desire of us to do. We will bring you honor and we will bring you glory And Father, we will testify of your goodness and your favor and your blessings upon us. We come before you with thanksgiving, with praise, and adoration in the name of your Son. Amen. God bless each of you.